CliffCentral.com. Oh, I'm kind of excited. I'm going to join Bulelani Balabala, who you know has got a show here on CliffCentral.com. I'm going to join him in Tembisa for the Township Business Innovation Summit.
Oh, that's cool.
In a couple of days' time, yeah.
He's our co-host of 360 Biz.
That's correct. And he's got this business called the TEA, the T, Township Entrepreneurs Association. And we're talking to him, and we'll probably get him in here and speak about it before or after, and you can find out a little bit. You don't have to necessarily come to Tembisa with us, but you can find out what we're there to do. I remember last time I was in Tembisa with Bulelani, we met all these entrepreneurs who've got their little businesses, people who are growing food, people who are making, they like do home deliveries of Kasi food. There was a grandma who was busy turning tires into furniture. I mean, some incredibly innovative people. Really, really smart people. They were all complaining, though, that they don't get enough data and that connecting is very expensive, which is obviously something that we keep bumping into in South Africa as a reality. But these guys are making it, and they're making it despite all of the odds against them. All right, lots of things to get into, so let's start with some messages and some emails. It's always good to hear from you, and you know you can always talk to us anytime you want to. Just because you might listen on podcast and you're not there live doesn't mean you can't email us. Just gareth@cliffcentral.com. If you want to mail Sia, Sia@cliffcentral.com. Ben@cliffcentral.com.
No, I don't check that ever.
Well, then send them to Sia and me, and we'll pass them on to Ben.
Yeah, or info.
No, just...
It's contact@cliffcentral.com.
Contact@cliffcentral.com.
Just,
you know what?
Just send them all to me. I'll forward them to the relevant
party. Let's not deal with Ben.
Don't
message Ben. Yeah.
People who genuinely want to talk, and now they're like, oh, no, there are too many email addresses. I'm not going to try.
Contact@cliffcentral.com.
Funda says, Ben, what's the story with Tiger Woods? Why is he not ranked anymore?
Of course he is. He's 13th. He's ahead of Jordan Spieth.
Okay. There's your answer, Funda. Quentin Dreyer says, what is a gunt? Good question.
Well, there's three letters there, which will give you the geography of where your gut is. It's a little bit lower, therefore the gunt.
It's just above.
Yeah. So got it? So combine a gunt and a...
And a?
Sorry.
What is Ben saying?
I think that was a very diplomatic and interesting way to explain the word gunt. I was talking earlier about how I looked at myself in the mirror and I felt like I was growing a gunt, which a man or a woman can have.
Yeah, that's the great thing about a gunt. It's unisex.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, you can always rely on Urban Dictionary.
What does Urban Dictionary say?
What have they got, Sia?
The definition for a gunt. Bulging area found on large, older women.
No, and large, older men like me.
Between the waist and the genital area.
There we go.
Not quite a gut, not quite a cunt. It's the gunt.
Thank you.
If you want to use it in a sentence, my sixth grade teacher had a gut like a frickin' inner tube.
Gunt. You ruined that in your example, but yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
So there we go, Quentin. Hope that answers your question. Deborah says, I am a happy moron that doesn't read. Yeah, I was saying earlier, if I just didn't read social media and a lot of the news media, frankly, I'd be a lot happier. And Deborah's saying, well, she's happy. She's a happy moron. She doesn't read.
But you know, in this day and age, there's no way we can avoid hearing about things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is.
But you can say you'll stay off social media. You can say you don't turn the television on at home. What happens as you're waiting in line?
I'm not a fan of willful ignorance. I mean, I get a little bit uptight sometimes. I get a little bit cross. Have a bit of a whinge about how there's all this bad news and irritating people. But I have to read. I have to know what's going on.
Mm.
I think this willful ignorance is a terrible thing. I don't know anything, and I don't need to know anything. I'm not going to read. That's a ridiculous point of view. Pabalo says, hey Gareth, could you please get Debbie Droke on the show tomorrow from Washington? I would love to hear a wailing Democrat first thing in the morning. By the way, the results are pouring in. Do you want to know what's happening in the US elections?
Okay.
Well, since Pabalo brought us up to date on this, the Senate, let's get, here it is, your latest election news update. Let me do it properly like CNN would do it, all right?
Okay.
Let me try and do this properly.
Is it breaking news?
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Okay.
Here it is, okay? Let's go. Breaking news.
This is your election update live from the Election Center in the United States of America. Here are the Senate results. Let me do the breaking news properly, all right? In the Senate race, the Democrats have 42 seats and the Republicans 51. So therefore, a swing to the Republicans have gained 3 seats and the Democrats have lost 3. Isn't that exciting?
Oh.
You want to know about the House?
Sure.
In the House, the Democrats have gained 24 seats and have overtaken the Republicans at 176 seats in total, the Republicans at 168. So by a narrow margin at the moment, but someone needs 218 seats for control. It's still anyone's game.
Ooh.
The Republicans have lost 24, Democrats gained 24 in the House, as predicted, if you want to listen to my show on Monday. You want to listen to the podcast, and you'll see I got it right.
It's audio proof.
That's it. All right, that's your election update, in case you care.
Oh.
Anushka says, hear ye, all listeners of Cliff Central. Gord Laws is done. He's cancelled. Oh. Don't hold your breath. Finished. The end. What a pity. Anushka, full of love this morning.
Anushka is full of everything after her holiday, where she was drunk and meeting people on an island. Now she's back. Fabulous life, I say.
Inati says, usually people who don't like the idea of Movember don't have a beard at all. Yeah, that's true. I don't like facial hair on anything, especially not women.
Well, that's just misogynistic, isn't it?
All right.
I was slow to pick that one up.
Here's an email. I just saw Sarah Bletcher's movie Mayfair, which is on circuit right now. Remember we had Sarah Bletcher in here talk about a movie Mayfair
a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it's on circuit right now. Wow, what a great little movie it is. Not exactly a feel-good movie, but if you like your movies gritty and intelligent, then this is for you. Usually these kinds of movies are only on for a short while, so get there quickly. By the way, what is Amanda up to these days? That's from Jess. Well, Jess, Amanda is smoking a hub and drinking in the East Rant. In fact, didn't you catch up with her not so long ago, Nola?
Yeah, that happened.
What's happening with Amanda? Is she behaving herself?
I haven't spoken to her in a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, her theme music is here ready for her when she comes. All right.
That's for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, smoking a hub, drinking a lot.
Oh, okay, here's a good one.
Okay.
To go through these sometimes and throw some of the crap ones out. Because we do, I mean, everybody has one or two morons who are listening to them. Even us. It's only one or two here. Most other media outlets have thousands. Just thought I'd pop in with an email, say, hey, this is from Leeton. Leeton says, the end of the year craze has well and truly started. I keep waiting for Gareth to say, I can't believe it's already November. I just hope Ben is there to piss all over it. And the two of you get into a stupid tiff, like two old grandpas. And on Ben's not being on the show full time anymore, I'm really sad about that. I'm looking forward to a resurrected Gord being on more and other pop-in hosts, but I'll miss Ben. Oh. And now cue Gareth bitching about how things have to change and evolve. I totally agree. And so I'm waiting for Sia's hours to be cut in embracing evolution. Please someone check the WhatsApp and see if Sia blocked me, because I'm sure he did. I thought we were free to give our feedback on the show. No one's blocked you.
No.
Stop whining.
But messages seem to be being skimmed.
Oh, no, no. I'm reading all the messages.
Well, it would appear not.
Anyway, following on from you guys and talking about rotten food yesterday, that's Tuesday part two, I was in the Eastern Cape for 2 weeks recently. In the rush of leaving, I think I left my room light on, and I stay alone. So I never buy a lot of prepaid electricity in advance, and no one comes to my place to check up or whatever. Guess what I got back to after my trip? It smelt like ripe baby shit as soon as I entered my apartment. Everything was off for days, seemingly. I don't have a big fridge, luckily, so it wasn't a lot of stuff. There was
baby
some,
shit.
There was some cheese, veggies, eggs, and more. But the worst part is that there had been 3 kilograms of frozen chicken breasts in the freezer. As it thawed out, the weight forced the door open and the chicken fell out of the freezer.
3 kilograms of chicken breast, Boots, yes, are you cutting?
I thought this was the worst thing I'd ever smelt. I found it lying on the floor, stinking like you won't believe. I tied a scarf around my face while cleaning up and I was still gagging. It took me a good 2 hours because I had to take breaks in between. Revolting.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. Keep up the good shit, Leighton.
Imagine being like the person who collects the garbage that week outside of Nathan's house.
Isn't that horrible? It's quite something. Imagine and being now, one. For the top 10 pornos. All right. You want to know what the top 10 pornos in the world are right now? By download. Okay. Coming in at number 10. Fresh Teen Pussy, XXX. That sounds very generic, but there it is. Rocco's Intimate Castings is at number 18.
Rocco's still going.
Sorry, no, that's Rocco's Intimate Castings 18. That is at number 9. Number 8, Your Mom's Twat is Hot.
Aye. Aye.
Number 7, The Game XXX. That sounds very generic as well.
Well, his rap career went south, so it's only a matter of time to enter porn.
Exactly. Number 6, 40 and Over, Bending Over, XXX.
Sounds like a thing.
40 and Over, Bending Over. Aren't you excited? Doesn't that sound good?
No. That's painful to imagine.
Oh, here's a revolting one at number 5. Coming in at number 5, up from last week, it's Mommy and Me 12.
Oh.
Yes, people are into this. Yes, yes. Badass Schoolgirls is at number 4. Badass Schoolgirls 4.
Oh, no.
Dangerous titles there, Mommy and Me 12.
Very dangerous titles. A lot of incest and underage stuff. I mean, this is what people are downloading. And by the way, I'm pulling this straight off the download list, all right?
Bad girls.
Number 3, Private Sports 12, SOS, Sex on Snow.
Well, that sounds healthy.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
Vigorous workout and a little bit of bonking on the side.
Private Specials 215, Lovely Lassies is at number 2. And
Private Specials.
Private Specials, Lovely Lassies. And number 1 in the porno downloads this week. Da-da-da. Horny Grannies Love to Fuck.
still got it.
Still at number 1 after 6 weeks at the top. Isn't that nice? Isn't better than the top 40 you used to hear on music radio, huh?
Oh, Granny's on the top. We needed that.
We needed the sound bites, really. Make a real chart show. We needed a sound bite. I used to own a porno, and then someone borrowed it and never gave it back. I was really pissed off about it because it was the private Cape Town special.
Was it vintage? What? I mean,
well, it was.
You don't probably get DVDs anymore.
It was probably like early 90s, judging by the fact that the cars and that kind of stuff. But it was the privates, the big production house of porn. And it was set in Cape Town. It was amazing. It was a real work of art, really.
Did you see some of our favorite landmarks in the background while people were going about their business?
Some guy even rocked up in a full spur waiter outfit.
Nice.
Yeah.
In the porno?
Yeah. Huh. I picked him up. He was selling curios by Lundadno.
Fantastic.
And then he was wearing a full spur outfit for some reason.
So you mean in this particular great work of art DVD that you had, they would recruit locals?
I don't know. I don't know where he got the outfit from. Maybe they thought it was a cultural thing, being dressed up like a spur waiter.
Maybe it is. Anushka, what's up?
Hello. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
I just want to speak to Ben quickly.
Hello. Hold on, I'll put you through to Ben. Just hold on. You know, you got to transfer.
Nice music while you do that.
Yeah, just hold on 1 second, all right?
Hi.
What up, Ben?
Hey, Anushka.
Listen, so you put us on to this Queen of the South.
Yeah.
2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now I find myself losing sleep with this series, and I'm in love with a fictional character.
But it does feel that real, huh?
Oh my god, how hot is Sam?
Yeah, it really is.
Maybe I should ask Sia that question, because Sam is a hot guy. But, yeah, so
Ben,
I'm losing
Ben
my
can,
mind.
Ben can be objective. Ben will tell you whether he thinks a guy is good looking or not.
What do you think, Ben?
It's just that my girlfriend thinks he's extremely hot, and I watch the show with her, so yeah, it confirms it really.
Okay, so is there any other hot stuff for us to watch, except for porn, granny porn?
I don't know. I haven't actually given the granny porn the time of day yet. Gareth just thrust it upon me now. I don't know. I haven't actually been watching a lot of TV of late. I've been watching vlogs on YouTube. Sorry.
My kids. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, guys, I've got nothing interesting to say today. I'm bored. Well, I need a new job.
We'll try to fix that for you, all right?
What's your current
Please,
job?
Guys.
What's your current job that's boring you so much?
Shit, I wish I could tell you guys, but I can't because I know some of my coworkers are probably listening.
Do you work for SARS?
No, I don't. No. Fuck, I will never work for government.
Sounds like a killer, an assassin.
Yeah, she probably is.
No.
We'll take this one offline. Thank you.
Oh, wow, you sound so corporate, but thanks. I have a good one.
Have you ever had that in a meeting? What's that word that you throw in if someone is talking crap in a meeting that's unrelated? Greg did it to
that's
me the other
word.
Day.
It's offline. Man. And the new word we use these days is a hybrid of. We're going to use this approach, a hybrid of that approach. I mean, come on.
Can't stand that language.
It's deep. I need to get out of... Oh, fuck. Let me not say too much. Okay, guys, have a good one.
Bye-bye.
And,
hopefully you guys will sponsor us data someday.
Right. Bye-bye. I'm not going to pay your data.
Yeah.
What do you work for?
Anushka. Give him a hand.
What's that word? What's the word?
It's not the equivalent of a safe word, but I get what you mean.
That's a word. Like if someone goes off on a tangent in a meeting and you end up talking about unrelated...
Digressing.
Yeah, nonsense.
It's not like pineapple.
No, man. I don't know. Greg's listening. He'll let me know. If you know what the word is, then help me out here. It's going to drive me to drink. I need to.
But I do find it funny when people say, "Okay, we'll have this conversation offline." Like this meeting is taking place in like the Matrix or something.
I don't know. I don't know who makes these words up in these meetings.
Marketing people.
They're bored.
Yeah.
Well. It's happening all over the place. People just talk nonsense. Okay, what's up?
So much going on, but interestingly enough, when you were mentioning the top 10 porn...
Malusi Gigaba wasn't in there, I'm afraid.
Well, I'm surprised to hear that.
Well, guys,
because
I
supposedly
mean,
he's getting fantastic reviews on Pornhub.
Really?
Production value's a little bit basic.
The terms Home Affairs Minister and also Malusi Gigaba make up 5 of the top 10 searches on Pornhub right now. His video alone has been viewed more than 23,000 times
My
on the site.
Is, whoa, the fuck out.
And if you think about it, though, with estimated views of 80 million on the site, this is actually quite great for Malusi Gigaba because he's fourth out of the top 10.
Good for him.
This is great.
This is the first time he's done anything well. Can I just point out when he ran Home Affairs the first time, he really screwed up royally. He was made finance minister. He didn't do a very good job there. But he can win at something. Mm. Everybody's good at something.
This is great for
Jesus
him.
Wants you for a sunbeam. Let me remind you. You have a very vital role in society, whoever you are. Even if you're Malusi Gigaba and up to now you've been useless. You just didn't know your calling was porn.
Can I taste your juice?
Yeah.
But he does have a negative rating of 40%, though.
Oh.
Yeah, because internationally people don't know him. It's just some jackass with his cock in his hand. Okay. I mean, let's really break it down. Gareth's giving you production value of real pornos here.
Right.
Just some guy just knocking one off.
Top Gussie says, Anushka sounds like she needs to visit the loo. Wow. You picked that up from just hearing her voice? You've got some talent, Cassitops. And Kelly says, duly noted. Huh. Not sure what you refer to. It's very cryptic.
Neither do I.
All right. Well, you know what? We can't take messages like that. From now on, any message that doesn't make sense with peace and love, we're going to ignore.
Oh.
Okay. Gary Mayer on Skype says, the word we're looking for is digress.
No, it's not digress. There's a word... Greg, please help me with this. He brought it up in the meeting the other day. We were talking, and then we went off on a tangent, and then he said the word, and we had to all get back on the topic.
Back on board.
Yeah, but there's a word.
It's like a random word.
Yes. I wish I could remember.
Nobody gives a shit.
How dare you?
Fair enough.
How dare you?
Is bullying all that bad?
Well, it can be.
I ask you with all seriousness. We know that bullying is a horrible thing, but people are mostly quite shit, right? And who are the worst?
Children.
Exactly. So this is a story of a girl called Josie Desgrand. Desgrand. It's Josie. Now, Josie was 120 kilograms once.
Uh-huh.
She was 16.
Big fat pig.
16. She had a gun, Gareth. She had a turbo gun.
Several of them.
Ooh. Her gun had a gun. Can you imagine that? She said, oh, you've touched my gun's gun. So she was huge in high school, right? And she was bullied because she was, let's be honest, a bit of a mess. So bullying, the positive result of that is that she then lost half of herself. She lost 62 kilograms, Josie.
Unbelievable. She's hot as hell now.
She's hot as hell now. And her Instagram account is no longer Fat Josie.
Great.
So then you think, okay, well, look, bullying is horrible. Don't be a dick in life. We all know that. But sometimes, what if Josie was never bullied?
She would have been fat still.
She would probably have diabetes by now. There would be a lot of other issues around. She would have skin that would never really bounce back. But because she was bullied when she was younger, and again,
now she's looking hot.
I'm not an advocate for bullying, but sometimes you've got to take the rough with the smooth in life. She's now got a lot of inspiration. She's going to write a book about her whole journey to inspire others. She lost 63 or 64 kilograms. She works as a personal trainer. She's very happy. She's very positive about her life. And no doubt, she's no longer getting bullied.
Yeah, now she doesn't have a gunt.
Nor does guntless. Her gunt have a gunt.
Her Twitter account, Guntless Josie. No, I make that, of course. But, you know, it's just, it always reminds me in life that, yes, not everything, there's not positive in everything. But bullying is like society's way of maybe pointing out some honesty in life.
And let's be fair. I mean, children are honest, if nothing else.
Yeah.
They may hurt your feelings, but they're honest. They're like Donald Trump.
And Josie's Instagram account is just all kinds of images of what she did look like before bullying and then after bullying.
She's got a narrow, sexy little waist. She's got that midriff exposed in the picture on the right. The picture on the left, she looks like she could eat her way through you.
Yeah. And let's not kid ourselves. How we look and how we present is very important in life.
Yes.
Do you think Josie's career opportunities at 120 kilograms would have been what they are?
Very limited, especially if the building had stairs. Very limiting.
Yeah.
You know what? People have got to stop with this, what do they call it? This body positivity stuff.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because it does no one any good. You can't persuade, you can't keep making fat, lazy people feel good about being fat and lazy. It's not good for them.
Like biggest beautiful campaigners.
Yeah.
Bigs and healthy.
I saw a cover of a women's magazine the other day with this fat woman on the cover.
Mm.
Very upsetting. I turned it around and then walked out of the store. I thought, I don't want to cost them more customers. Let me turn this around and help them. So I did. Anyway, I've helped. I will take credit. There's a woman called Fat Pat. She used to be fat, hence the name Fat Pat. And I was very rude about fat people on my radio show when I was still on terrestrial radio. Fat Pat wrote a book about how my constant nastiness around fat people helped her to lose weight. Now she's not Fat Pat anymore. She's just Pat.
Just Pat. Happy Pat.
Isn't that great?
No. Yeah. I know there's more to this from a health perspective of why some people are bigger than others and that kind of stuff. You've got to be sensitive towards certain things.
Nope.
We can always be just honesty sometimes. It's the best medicine.
Well, there's honesty and then there's bullying.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're not going to follow her home and throw fruit to her because she's a bit rotund. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just dick behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But look at that. No longer Fat Josie, living her best life
at
half the size.
Then let's refine it a bit. Perhaps just a nudge in the right direction.
A nudge in the right direction.
That's it.
All right. We're going to meet our guest for the morning in a minute. He's going to come and join us in just a little while.
Who is listening to the show thinking, what is going to happen during my interview?
Donald Chapuma.
Of having a gun.
I'm very excited, Donald, to talk to you. Sit down. Don't worry. We'll get to you in a moment. He's up and excitable. Anyway, we'll talk about... he's a professional photographer and a foodie, and he was just on My Kitchen Rules. Which, funnily enough, I mean, that show is very entertaining.
But...
No, it is. Oh. It's just entertaining. It's a very entertaining show. But before we get to that, we got to play you something.
Okay.
All right, this is off the internet.
The interwebs.
Yeah, it has to do with Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla. Now,
Dennis Prager's brilliant. I like him.
Dennis Prager's got a university in America. He's a big free speech advocate.
Mm.
A very talented, exceptionally successful Jewish businessman who's gone ahead and he started this university to help other people be successful.
PragerU on YouTube.
That's correct. And they put out all kinds of really good content. If you want to see great content production, go and look at PragerU. And you'll see what I mean. And he's a conservative by political leaning. Adam Carolla is the host of the most successful podcast ever, The Adam Carolla Show.
Wow.
Which a lot of people listen to. Millions and millions and millions and millions of people listen to. So this piece I'm going to play for you now, there's a clip. It comes from a TV show with Tim Allen, you know, Toolman Tim.
Mm-hmm.
He's busy. Tim the Toolman Taylor. He's busy talking about political correctness online and the reaction people have. And then after that, there's an interview with Adam Carolla and Dennis Prager. The whole thing's not long. You're not going to get bored. It's about 3-4 minutes. But I want you to listen because they make a really interesting point. Why have I got so much gas today?
Oh.
All right, here it is.
It's
really, it's the gunt, I'm telling you. So here it is. Take
gunt
a listen.
Gas.
The clip opens up with Tim the Toolman Taylor talking about an email he got from someone.
And I make a joke. He said, why don't you shove a Ryobi drill up your And I tweet right back, why Ryobi?
Yeah, why not DeWalt?
Why not? Why? And then
Milwaukee?
Was a whole...
All right, so this is Tim the Toolman Taylor.
A whole hog with a half-inch chuck.
Makita, go with the Makita. But the guy wrote back,
Milwaukee makes a better plumber.
Yes,
drill.
But the guy wrote back, he says, sorry, I was having a tough day. I probably shouldn't have said that. So at least I had an interplay.
Sure.
What did that come out of? Out of nowhere, this meanness.
So.
That was a clip from Adam Carolla and Dennis Prager's upcoming new movie. It's called No Safe Spaces. Comedy used to be the realm of liberals in America, but that has changed recently. Turn on any late-night show. Humor is gone. It's dead. It's been replaced by suffocating propaganda and mindless, repetitive political correctness. Is that permanent? Can it be fixed? Can the country regain its sense of humor, its sense of art, its sense of dignity?
Now, I mean, Tucker Carlson's not a funny guy at all, and he recognizes that. But, well, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. I love what he's saying here about how the enemy of a sense of humor is this political correctness and this stifling, self-righteous, sanctimonious crap that we keep hearing on the mainstream media. I mean, when last did anyone say, you know what's great about Eusebius McKayser, his sense of humor? No one.
Never was.
No one has ever said that. Or even Bongani Bingwa, or even... pick anyone off of radio these days or television. No one's talking about their sense of humor. The only place you can get humor is from comedians, and even they're scared to do it in some places. So let's hear what the point is of this Dennis Prager, Adam Carolla movie, which is coming out.
In perspective, we had that conversation in part two of our interview with Carolla and Prager. Here's part of what they said.
What if everyone simultaneously stopped apologizing, stopped backpedaling, stopped walking back tweets when they were quoting Winston Churchill, and then they had to apologize after quoting Winston Churchill or whomever or whatever? What if it all stopped on Monday? There'd be no more business on Tuesday for the people who are
exactly
trying to shut you down. If we did it and we provided a uniform front, if we all just sort of said, no, I'm not going to apologize, it was a joke, or you took it the wrong way, or I meant it, live with it, this would end immediately.
Let's do that. Can you think, since you guys have just spent the last more than a year working on this film about this topic, can you think of anyone who's done that? Who is, other than you all, who's just drawn the line in normal life, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for what
Donald
I
Donald Trump.
Good point.
And that's what drives them crazy. He just marches on, does his thing. Overwhelmingly, it has been good for the United States and the world. He has said some ridiculous things, even some bad things, fully acknowledged. Nevertheless, he does not apologize to the left. He is the ultimate nemesis of the left because he doesn't care what they say. And I have said often, I'm a religious guy, and I have said, there is more fear of the left in America than fear of God. There's more fear of the New York Times editorial page than fear of God. And even if you're an atheist, you can acknowledge the truth of that. And that, when you bust that fear, it's over. They wish that the fear will work. That's why they gather around your table and scream at you, because the previous tactic didn't work, so they keep upping it. But at a given point, it won't work, and that's the hope that the American people understand. There's a vicious cycle taking place on the part, not of liberals, but of leftists. In our film, Alan Dershowitz says, as a liberal, as a Democrat, as an American, as a Jew, I far more fear the left than the right.
Yeah, I think most people do. So how long does this last?
I think there's also a quick addendum here, like a simple thing we could do. I think we're all guilty of doing it. I listen to your show religiously, even though I'm an atheist. And you guys do it, and I don't think it's unconscious, and we all do it, where you go, look, here are my thoughts on immigration. And then you stop and you go, Hispanics are great people. I work with many Hispanic people. I have no ill will in my heart toward Hispanic people. And then you go ahead and talk about securing the border. Sure. And then you do this thing where you go, or it's a feminine issue. I'm married. I have daughters. I love them dearly. I don't abuse my wife ritualistically. Now, why do we have to preface everything with explaining, look, I'm not an arsonist, I'm not a pedophile, here are my views, look, I'm not a racist. Of course you're not a racist, you're not a racist. I'm not a racist in theory, I make a few off-color jokes. My point is we shouldn't have to preface every talking point with, I'm not misogynistic, I'm not xenophobic, I'm not homophobic, I'm not racist. We're not. This is insane that they've talked us into having to preface every talking point with, I have nothing against homosexuals. Many of my best friends are gay. Dennis is a godfather to a homosexual couple. Now, that being said, let me give you my thoughts on gay marriage. This notion that they've talked good family people who've never brought any harm to any group, regardless of sexual proclivities or gender, age, or race, we've ever done anything. Why do we have to start every rebuttal to every argument with, you know, look, I'm not homophobic, and I'm not a racist, and I'm not about, and then you explain you have a wife, and she, honey, are you here, by the way? This is good stuff. Anyway, you're missing a lot of good stuff. The point is, let's stop doing that.
Done.
Go right into
Done.
Your talking point.
I'm never
point.
Doing that again.
Go right into your talking
right.
point.
See, that's a good point. Everybody's prefacing everything by telling everyone what a good person they is. They are.
They is.
Yeah. Stop it. Don't apologize. And let's just move on from this. Because the minute we all stop apologizing, all these rabid nutcases will have to stop complaining. And then we can move on and have a sense of humor. It's just, it is so unnecessary. I mean, Carolla says, once you sort it out and you put out there that you're a country who doesn't negotiate with terrorists when they take hostages, they take less hostages. Once you put it out there like, I'm a comedian, I have a podcast, I say what I want and I don't apologize, then they leave you alone because ultimately what they want is an apology and they want you backpedaling. If you just stand up like any... You know, like you would to a bully. Ben brought up bullying earlier. If you stand up and you say, I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm not apologizing. I say outrageous things all day long. People say to me, how does that work? I say, well, I don't apologize, so I'm not on their list of people who need to apologize. That's the way to live. So we're going to start doing that here. I hardly ever do, but I'm not about to start anytime soon. All right, let's talk about my kitchen rules. Let's talk about Donald Chipuma. Let's talk about photography. It's undeniable how big social media is, especially if you decide to make a career out of it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, one of the people is Donald Chipuma. He's someone who's built his name on Instagram as a photographer to the stars. He's now also taking on the foodie world. His stint on My Kitchen Rules, people are talking about him. What does it take to make this happen? How seriously do brands take social media? How quickly can you make social media work for you? Everybody talks about they have a brand. Most people, you don't have a brand. Trust me. You have 5 followers. Just calm down and relax on your fucking brand. All right? Here's a guy who does, so we're going to talk to him. So how are you, man? Nice to see you.
Fine, thank you. Thank you for having me, Grant.
Sure, dude. You were sitting out there on the sofa, you were laughing, and then you looked very nervous. I was worried about you. I was going to send in a psychologist.
Well, I mean, I guess the show is uncensored, so it scares me a little bit. What are we going to talk about? How far we can go? So that worries me a little bit.
So first things first, how's the career going? How's photography going? How's the foodie stuff going?
So photography is going amazing. I think that's my first love, something that I enjoy doing, and I don't see myself stopping anytime soon.
When did you start with that?
I started in 2008. That's when I started studying photography.
You use a proper camera?
Yeah, so part of the initial course is like...
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks they've got a smartphone, they're a photographer.
I mean, you know, you're as good as the camera that you have, you know. So if you're in a situation, I don't have my camera and I have my iPhone, I just have to sort of, you know...
I always hate that saying, because good photographers are prepared.
Well, I guess, I mean, you know, you're as good as your camera.
They should have the best they could possibly have.
I mean, if you don't have your camera bag with you, if you only have your phone, I mean, you know, make the best of it.
I got back from America and Ben said to me, "Oh, you got a new phone." So I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, your photographs have improved and it can't be you. You haven't learned to be a good photographer," he says to me. And he's right.
That's a good observation.
You know, I think the mobile phones they're making now, I mean, more advanced. They have great cameras and, you know, it makes everyone look great, even the cameras that people like. They're making at the moment, you know, if you just kind of like go on YouTube and, you know, you learn a few tricks, you can be able to take beautiful pictures. And I also, I mean, I say kudos to them for doing that, because I feel like, you know, life is too boring for ugly pictures. And and you can't be friends with people that can take beautiful pictures.
That's the quotes of the day. Yep.
I'm in agreement. Good for you. You got a standard for your friendships.
True. You kind of have to know. But like with me, all my friends, I just like set the camera for them and then say, you know, you can press. And then...
So, I mean, what is it about photography that drew you in the first place? Because it is the most popular hobby in the world. And there are a very small percentage of people at the top of that game who, I mean, they get paid thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, for a picture. Is that your ultimate objective, is to be in that top 1% of photographers in the world?
I think when I started, it was just, you know, something that I enjoyed doing. I remember my dad, we used to travel together, and we had a point-and-shoot camera.
Yeah.
And he always used to give me the responsibility of taking pictures. And after, it was like a film camera also. So when you go and you develop the pictures, then you come back, and I was like, okay, this is actually very decent. And looking back at those pictures, I mean, there was the idea of understanding light without having to learn, you know, formally. And it's something that I always enjoyed doing.
Because that's all. I mean, lighting is 99% of it, right?
Yeah, true.
It's amazing. And photographers tell me they spend more time worrying about the lighting. I went to a photo shoot once for a series of publicity shots. I'm a terrible subject for photographs. This guy is a real pro. He was walking around with one of those, what do you call them, light meters?
Light meter, yes, yes.
And he was click, click, clicking the whole bloody time, testing the light.
Yes.
Pictures came out great.
No, lighting makes 99% of the picture. I think composition also comes into, there's a lot of technical things that go into that.
Yeah. You don't want the toilet in the back of the photograph.
Yeah. And you don't want things sticking out of people's heads, you know. Because, I mean, when you look at things, we see things in 3D. And when you look at a picture, it's 2D. So when it's flat, it might not look the same as you look in real life. So you just need to be very aware of your surroundings. But ask back to your question, asking if that's the ultimate goal. I think I never really had an ultimate goal. I was just a young boy from Zimbabwe who was just, you know, following his dream. And all of these things started happening. And, you know, entertainment industry, I never thought I'd be working in that space. It's just everything just happened. And
but you're working in it now.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing. You're actually making a living out of this.
Yes, I think it's really been amazing. And I think also the foundation that I had when I was sort of, you know, studying art photography, I had like amazing people that were teaching me, people that were, you know, eager, you know, for me to learn more without, you know, saying, if you're working for me, you don't carry my bags, but rather go to, you know, a job and come back with the pictures.
Huh.
So there was more responsibility, and I learned quite a lot from that. And the guy who used to work with Simon Dana, he's now based in Cape Town, you know, has actually given me half of his business now in Joburg with some of his clients.
That's great.
And because he's now moving in fashion and
makes such a difference, right?
Yeah. It does. It definitely does.
Okay, so what kind of pics do you really like taking? Portraits? Do you like just taking all kinds of artistic stuff, whether it's landscapes, objects, people? The subject doesn't matter to you, or is there something in particular you just love and that you think you're maybe more talented in than anyone else?
I think I enjoy taking pictures of people. I love, you know, meeting people and like hearing stories of people. And you know, photography is very, you know, as much as, you know, we're talking about, you know, stereotypes and things like that, you know, you put in a subject and you say this guy is a prisoner. you know, there's a way you would photograph a prisoner. And, you know, if you say this guy's a president, you know, you, there's a way you, you do that. And
or in our country, you could be both.
True. But, you know, there's a way. And for me, I think it's just the excitement people give me, like the feedback. Like, you know, you take a picture of them and you show them, they're like, oh, my God, this picture is beautiful. I mean, that gives me more joy than anything. So I like taking pictures of people
but you
and
also,
listening to their story.
You take a lot of pictures of celebrities, right?
Well-known yes, I do.
People. Any real asshole celebrities who've made your life hell? Because I know I can be very difficult in a photo shoot. I'm not the easiest guy to work with because I get grumpy. I get impatient. And you guys need to do the right picture. It sometimes takes hours and hours of prep to get that perfect picture. Are there subjects who have been terrible that you won't work with again?
There are a couple of people that I will never work with again. I think it's just the experience. And you know, I don't care who you think you are in the space where you work in, even if you're the president of the country. But I think there's a way we treat people. So for me, most about it is like the, how you treat people and how you communicate with people is the biggest thing. But working together, I would try and make sure that you know you're comfortable, you're relaxed, and you know we obviously work towards something.
So you want to name names?
Not really.
Want to get it off your chest?
No, yeah, not really.
Sia, you've been to some photo shoots. Are you a difficult person in a photo shoot?
No.
I don't think Sia is. No.
Get there on time, and you know you cover the basics. You have a few.
I've worked with you at events before.
Have
we? Yes. Like I mean, like you know, take a picture of you at an event. Like
Now it's nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, you know.
I'm
so
like
I think
now coaxing him to say.
For me, the biggest thing is like you know. I mean, and also like you need to set the boundaries. You know, from the start, from the time they sort of consult about the job because if you sort of kind of like become a pushover. They can sort of can take
advantage
of that.
They think maybe you're not as good as you need to be. So it's ego comes into that.
Yeah.
So how can people look better in pictures? Because I've seen a lot of pictures where someone is, they're frowning, they're laughing out loud, and they're showing their open mouth like a hippopotamus.
Oh.
People who look down. Shadows in the wrong places. Like, how can you look better in a picture?
I think, you know, it's just, you know, firstly, it's an understanding, like we said, lighting. And then also, the photographer just needs to make sure that you're relaxed. And then, you know, from the photo shoot, if you spend like an hour, you probably come out, let's say, with 300 pictures, then you can only use 5 of those pictures.
Wow.
So you just need to make sure that, you know, from your editing process, you just need to find the right picture. Otherwise, it means, you know, if a photographer wasn't paying attention, especially with event photography, you can see when the photographer wasn't paying attention to say, guys, let's take a picture. Can you guys pose? Smile. And you can have to go back and look and you see like, okay, the other lady, her eyes are closed or she's yawning wrongly or there's a bra strap or whatever.
Bra straps.
Yes.
Ugh.
So you kind of just need to pay attention as a photographer. I think, you know, it starts with the photographer and just help your subject to relax. And I think, you know, everyone can actually have a beautiful photo of themselves.
It's possible.
I can't promise to make you beautiful, but I'll take a decent picture of yourself.
Please. I know. I've been looking, scouring the surface of the earth for a photographer who could try to make me look good, but it's never going to happen.
He's a photographer, not a magician.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me about My Kitchen Rules, because you took part in the last season, that's season 2. You and your cooking partner, you almost got the 1 million.
Got the million, yes.
So who screwed you over?
You know, the kitchen is a very tricky place, eh?
No.
Very diplomatic.
name names, because I didn't watch season 2. You can tell us who it was.
Who
are these shits?
So we competed against Rocks and Spoon, the Winterton sisters, and they won the challenge. A couple of things went wrong in the kitchen, both sides.
What were you guys making that was that went wrong?
We made a beef carpaccio wrapped in... Biltong dust.
Was it rotten beef? Is that the problem?
No, it wasn't. No, I think it was like everything was fresh, but like I think a bit of seasoning here and there, and you know, a competition. You know, you kind of just need to bring everything. Otherwise, you know, everything from personality
to
great food.
Good. Beef carpaccio rolled in biltong dust.
With some, you know, some orange segments and some rocket and you know, cream fish in there, horseradish.
Look at
so
you.
It was a very beautiful meal.
You cook a lot.
I do cook a lot, yes. I actually cook every day. I make it a point that if I don't eat lunch at home, I eat dinner at home. And I've sort of tried to stop eating out because I realized also it was just expensive. Like, you know, you go to a restaurant and they charge you 120
But dude,
rand.
Even buying ingredients now is expensive.
But you know, for me, it's like what I usually pay in a restaurant for one person. If I go buy the ingredients myself and I make a meal, I can feed 4 people.
What I've always wanted to know about the show is, Yes, a lot of the contestants say, yeah, I cook at home, but you don't, for supper, cook a bloody blah with biltong dust and whatnot.
No.
So when do you get to that point where you are actually so confident
but they're
in
bored.
Cooking?
These people are bored.
No. I don't think you're bored. I think, you know, for a lot of foodies, you realize that I think food is aspirational. People want to eat things that, you know, you've had a salmon before, so now you want to eat it again, you know, mm-hmm. But now... You know, in a restaurant is costing $280, and like you go to the fishmonger, you pay $140 for 500 grams, and then you're like, okay, this is reasonable, let me make it. So I think a lot of it comes from, you know, you're just inspired and you want to try out and you want to explore. And for me, my friends are very lucky because every day, every week, weekends, I'm cooking. So I always need someone to come and taste. I'm taking pictures of my food because I'm obviously trying to move my career.
So you're also a food stylist.
Not as yet. I'm trying to work myself towards that side of, you know.
That is an incredible thing. I mean, you've got people with little spray paint cans. You've got people with, like, dangerous chemicals to try and make the food look beautiful.
Yes.
You could never eat that shit after it's been photographed.
No, I promise you. It's an entire production. For me, yeah. By the time we kind of get to eat, at least I don't use any dangerous chemicals. So by the time we get to eat, the food is probably cold. We have to warm it up again. And sometimes you can't microwave the food, you know, for pictures.
No,
so.
Especially when they spray plastic paint thinners over it. Ooh, imagine.
So
we need this duck to look moist and shine.
Yes, that's always the idea. But for me, I just try to use whatever I have in my cupboard and, you know, also stuff that's edible. And I think that's the ultimate goal. And also just to make it, you know, seem like, you know, wherever at home, because, I mean, you can't taste the food that I'm making on my pictures. But if you look at it, I hope you get inspired to go home and try the recipe and, you know, see if it's something that you enjoy.
Weren't you involved in Kit Kat's pop-up store?
So at the moment, yes, we are involved in the Kit Kat.
It's still ongoing?
So it's starting with the 24th of November to the 22nd of December.
So what is this? Are we going to be able to walk in and just eat so much Kit Kat that we roll out of there with our guns?
No, but you can walk in and personalize your own chocolate and
Tell me more.
As a gift. Yes, so you can gift your you can gift your girlfriend, your mother, your in-laws, your favorite friends.
In-laws, you can make a shit chocolate.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so I mean, I think it's an exciting, the first of in Africa. It has happened overseas. It's going to be a 6-week pop-up, and you get in there.
How much personalization? What are we talking?
I mean, you get to do your own flavors, inclusions on the chocolate, and then they pack it for you, and then you can write your own personalized message. And there's going to be the first 100 you can pre-order, which is like the limited edition one. Then now you can walk into the store. Everything is done for you while you wait. And, you know, you can play around with some of the chocolate. So that's going to be very exciting.
Give CS some flavors. Let him try and put one together in his imagination and then come and do
it. So there is the coconut. There is the honeycomb. There is the mixed berries. There is the lemon. And there is there's the short biscuit. There is there's a couple of flavors, actually.
What do you think, Sia?
I'm here for that. The honeycomb.
Hmm.
I see a little mixed berries thing happening. Something sweet. But you got me with chocolate. I mean, I'm
exactly. You see, like chocolate for breakfast, and for lunch, and for supper.
I have some chocolate waiting.
And the nice thing about it, like, I mean, you can pack it as a gift. I mean, it has beautiful pictures. You know, there's the Big Five, the Soweto Towers, the Joburg skyline. So there's like so much. You know, I mean, you can do with the box itself. It's beautiful, and I encourage you guys to go to Mall of Africa on the 24th to check it out.
So you did a live cooking demonstration at Decorex,
yes,
in Johannesburg. What kind of morons go and stand there and watch someone else cook?
You'd be surprised. I mean,
I don't think I don't by any means, people. I mean, you're a very talented dude. That's why I'm talking to you. I wouldn't have invited you here if I didn't think you were good at what you do. But what kind of a bored, depressed individual wants to go and stand and watch someone else cook and they don't even get to eat?
So the format of the entire...
What kind of life is that?
The format of the entire experience in the show is based on decor and a lot of other things happening within the expo. So I feel like maybe when you're bored of like looking at kitchens and TVs and things like that, you come and watch Donald cook and taste amazing food and recipes that we're making. So
describe these people to me. You looked at them. Who's in the front row here? Describe what they look like.
I mean, a lot of the people that came were people that watched the show, people that, you know, love food, and people that just wanted to taste amazing food. So it was like, you know, it varied from...
Are these quite backward people? I mean, do they...
There was young people. There was... ladies who recognize me from My Kitchen Rules, older women, so that it was a mixed crowd. It was a very interesting
crowd.
Fans. Yeah, well,
That's a bad.
let's call it that.
It's very humble.
Okay, I like this. All right. I just needed to understand that because I don't want to watch anyone cook.
Can you cook?
Not at all. Not even. I would ruin. I can't cook an egg.
You see, that's the thing. So you need to come and watch me cook, no, and you can learn a few skills.
Never need to learn.
Actually, you do have a flair for, like, a great salad, though.
Ah, please. I can, you know what I do? I chop up tomatoes, I chop up some avocado, and that's what I call it.
That's what you're proud of.
That, for me, is culinary.
But can I tell you something interesting? And people think, you know, a salad is easy, but making great salads is not easy,
dude,
to be honest with you. Really? I've been to places where they call something a salad, and I'm like, you know, lettuce and cucumber and onions is not a salad. So you kind of like, you know, for me, it has to be interesting. I mean, with a salad, you can do so much, from putting figs in there, you can put sweet corn in there. Yes. So there's like so much you can play around with in terms of, you know, other things you can add. You know,
No. I get you. You see, the problem is you're talking to the guy who has the least interest in anything but the taste of the food. Like, I love the taste. I can appreciate that. I'm not a complete Philistine.
So do you eat out or do you buy microwave
packets?
No, I eat out.
I could cook the basics, but let's not talk about me. It's not interesting. I'm not a foodie. I don't understand this world. I see, and I go into these shops, you know, these exclusive books or whatever. I see piles and shelves filled with cooking books. I think, who's buying this? People love to cook.
Yes,
they do, and they love to cook, and then they think they're Donald, or they think they're Jamie Oliver. They're not. You're cooking for your three kids who don't appreciate you at all.
No, but I think for me, I cook for myself. I eat all my food that I cook. All my food on my page, everything that I cook, I cook.
What's your favorite meal?
My favorite meal. I'm a big lover of deboned chicken thighs. You know, there's so much you can do that. You know, you can add some mushrooms and a bit of butter and cream, you know, make something nice. You know, you can make like lemon, you can make like a tomato base. So there's like so much you can do.
Are people obsessed at the moment with healthy food, organic food, stuff that is whole food, natural grown stuff?
You know, I think there is a group of people that are very obsessed with that. And for me, I think, you know, we talk about conscious cooking. But it's just like what you use the ingredients for and how you use them. So for me, I prefer more, you know, the environmental friendly way of cooking. You know,
right, sustainable.
Yes.
Stuff. So, you don't want factory farmed animals. Or,
well, I mean, not just that, but even like when you're working, for example, with vegetables, like, you know, when you see a vegetable, instead of boiling them, why don't you steam them? You know, instead of blanching them, why don't you just like, you know, put a bit of butter, and, you know, if instead of making a pasta, boiling it first, why don't you make like, you know, fry your chicken, put some cream, put your pasta in there, just simmer with some stock, you know, buy store bought stock, and then you sort of avoid having to boil stuff and rinse stuff and throw away water and all of that. So that's what I'm, you know.
It's conscientious, this guy. I like that.
I don't really care, Donald, about the fat content in the food.
Donald, let's give ratings to the following people that you photographed out of 10, okay?
Okay.
In terms of, first of all, how attractive they are, and second of all, how difficult they are to work with.
Okay.
Lala Hirayama.
Asian Persian, I give her a 10.
10 for attractiveness.
Yes, I think she's very. I think she's on sex appeal. Yes, she's very.
Have you persuaded her to do nudes yet?
Lala is a very sweet girl, but I don't think she would go there.
I don't know, hey. I think she could be talked into it. If you feed her some food, and
what the Bill Cosby's going
Lala is very sweet. Lala is very sweet.
I think you could talk her into it. I think Lala would be susceptible to that. You said, we could take such hot pictures of you. Oh, really? You think so?
I mean, you know, remember Lala was an FHM before, so I think she's done that before, like, not nude, exactly, but like, it's like, you know, bikini photos. So
thank you.
I'm sure if you, yeah.
I'm trying to help you here. All right. How hard is she to work with?
Lala is amazing. Very easy. Easy.
Really?
Easy. Okay. Very nice
not
person.
Not difficult. Not, where's my Fanta orange?
No, she doesn't. No. And all she doesn't complain about the rent.
Ayanda Tabet.
Beautiful. Also, I'll give her a 10. And
wow, you're just giving 10s out. Look,
I mean,
at
this is a very beautiful woman, eh?
Sure.
And so much sex appeal also. And
what a tough job you have, Donald.
How do you do the lighting differently for Lala and Ayanda?
Yeah, of course, yeah. So there is, you know,
the light and the darkness.
Light.
Help me figure it out here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for Lala, obviously, you try to avoid to be overexposed.
You wanted it to look shiny and pasty.
But you also wanted to look a bit, you know, like, you know, give a bit of more, like, a nicer skin tone as opposed to just, like, pale. skin tone.
White people can look very pale.
Yes, they can, yes.
And those of Asian persuasion as well.
Yes.
Can look very pale. It's very off-putting. It doesn't make for a good picture.
Yes.
However, a beautiful dark skin also needs to be lit carefully.
Of course, yes, true.
So what do you do fire under? What kinds of light, what kind of filters are we talking about?
So with Ayanna, there's no filters. It's just, you know, natural lighting, and she's got beautiful skin. So that makes my job way easier. Yeah.
Difficult?
No, not at all. Very easy also.
She's also a
pleasure. Very, 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 very polite.
Amanda DuPont.
She's a sweetheart, yes.
10?
These people have become part of, you know, the circle, and, you know, I mean, Amanda DuPont is, would give her a 9.
Okay. Yeah. That's very generous of you.
You know, she's very, for me, I mean, she's very conservative. In sort of kind of like the person she is. Like,
no nudes?
Not at all. No. Amanda's not about showing skin and things like that.
All right. Kanim Bao. You've taken pictures of her?
Yes.
Prettiness, hotness scale? As a photographer, you need to be able to figure these things out. That's how you take a good picture. You're like,
okay, what are you basing this on? Because for me,
compare her to, you've given a 10 to Lala and Ayanda, given a 9 to Amanda. Where's Kanye?
And when did you work with her, pre or post skin bleaching?
So I've known her.
Yes, because I've known her since
pre the skin lighting, but
isn't this the greatest interview you've ever had?
Listen, you're making my life difficult here, but I'll tell you one thing I admire about her the most.
This doesn't happen on boring radio, right?
I tell you what I admire about her, what you spoke about, being unapologetic. I think her personality, and for me, I think she has so much sex appeal than most of the girls in the industry.
Very good point. Yes, she does.
Yeah, I mean, she's managed to like stay, you know, there's just something about her. Like, I feel like she's carefree.
She's interesting.
Yes.
And you got to take an interesting picture of her because she's not your regular girl.
But she's also very smart. That's one thing I like about her.
Definitely.
Very, very smart.
Okay. Nudes?
I think she is that kind of girl who's very risque. Not like nudes, but like I feel like we could, you know, she's comfortable enough around me.
Side boobage.
Yes, I'm sure we could convince her.
I mean, I'm not trying to by any means insinuate that you're one of those photographers, because we know those kinds of photographers exist.
Shady.
You do very professional work. Let's be clear. So, final question then. Kanye, on a difficulty scale, because we know she could be a bit of a diva.
You know, I think, like,
does she arrive on time?
Kanye arrives on time. She's always happy, always like in a very happy mood, and she just makes everyone's jobs easier. She's very, like, most of the people that I've worked with, you know, on set with her, they're just like, oh my God, I can't believe that was Kanye, because, I mean, of the way she's just, like, so chilled, so laid back.
Do you think the media give her a hard time?
I think she's understudious, misunderstood, yes.
I agree with you. I think she's got a...
I think she's a lovely person. I mean, very, very, very polite. Also, I mean, like, we talk about humility, and for me, I think how you treat people and people that you don't know, for me, that's the biggest thing, because I would be on set with someone who's assisting me or someone who's like a makeup artist she's never worked with before. But just how everyone works, you know, it's always nice. So, you know, when the photo shoot ends, you're like, oh my God, I wish we could still do this, you know, for another 2 hours or so. So that's the vibe she gives you.
I agree with every single assessment of yours, because what do I know?
Have you ever had an experience with any of them?
I've never been a photographer. What do I know about this stuff? But I do think it's a very important thing that you get the lighting right for everybody.
Yes.
That you take the best possible picture for them. And then they come back for more, because they go, this guy has a talent. He makes me look great. And he can cook a great meal. Yes. Have you ever dated someone you've taken photographs of?
Me?
Yeah.
A date? Mm-hmm. No.
Oh. Would you...
Vibed? Yes.
Vibed. Oh. Very important, though. You've got to have a vibe with your photographer. I'm not saying anything inappropriate. Yeah. You have a vibe.
Yeah, but like I think for me, I haven't been in a relationship in the longest time, and dating in the industry is something that's a very bit tricky, and yeah.
You know what? I think you're one of those people who's on the up and up. You're building your brand. You're doing very well. You're out there on social media. You're taking beautiful pictures. You're on My Kitchen Rules. It's all working for you. This is looking good, man. Well done.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And that wasn't too terrible, was it?
No, it wasn't that bad.
You enjoyed it.
I just had to school some of the people that I work with.
Yes,
but none of them were listening.
Yes, but you're brave enough to do it. Well done to you.
Well, thank
a lot
you.
Of people would have tried to get out of that. And,
thank you. So
you didn't
much.
Squirm. You weren't a squirmy like a politician.
Right, I have dude. To go and apologize with the free photo shoot
no,
for all
you
of
don't.
Them.
You were nice. You were nice. You were very nice about all of them.
You were honest. You
how
survived.
Could they, how could they have a problem with you? If any of them have a problem, send them to me.
Okay, cool. I will.
I'll give them the grills as well. All right. Thanks so much, dude. Here is the unnews for you this morning. You ready? Maluziki Gaba says there will be hell to pay if he's removed from the ANC. We heard that? Big headline today. There will be hell to pay. This has made MPs very nervous. They find it hard enough to pay legal fees or child maintenance to their side chicks. The idea of having to pay hell on top of this sounds really daunting. And plus, we know no one in the ANC pays. Cyril Ramaphosa has admitted that his son has had dealings with Bosasa, a corrupt facilities management company. But he also said he shouldn't be judged too heavily. He is, after all, just trying to make his own fortune, which is tough nowadays, considering all the big BEE deals have already been taken by his father and Patrice Motsepe. And finally, Gary Player is just back from his morning run at Sun City. He's there as a tournament host for the Nedbank Golf Challenge, and he says he's very excited about the weekend ahead. Not so much because of the golf, but because he's planning on slapping hamburgers out of the hands of fat children and berating their parents for being poor role models. That's his favorite thing to do. God bless you, Gary Player. We shall see you tomorrow. Big thank you to our guest, and thank you to you for joining us. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. And don't forget, the next episode of Decrypto is up next. Here's a song specially for Donald Chipuma this morning, all right? CliffCentral.com